Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
This is the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast, SiriusXM Radio.
Andrew McCabe, the former number two at the FBI, who it now looks like is going to get prosecuted for lying under oath. He's going to get indicted for lying. And I'm very concerned about this. I'm going to take you through exactly, you know, what we know. The Inspector General had spent a lot of time looking into McCabe and what he described as his lack of candor. McCabe, of course, was fired and wasn't able to get his pension. But it seems that that's not enough, that now he's going to get prosecuted. And I just think that the idea of prosecuting the former number two at the FBI, who the president has spoken out so vociferously against, for a relatively insignificant lie, and I'll explain to you in a minute why it's a relatively insignificant lie, is concerning. Doesn't mean he shouldn't have gotten fired, but I think we should be concerned. I've pulled out the Inspector General report, which lays out a lot of the information on it, but his lawyers had appealed to the Justice Department not to prosecute, and it is now clear that that effort has been rejected. So what was this all about? Well, this relates to a broader investigation that was done by the Inspector General of the FBI into a number of issues. The focus of it was not a Wall Street Journal article from the 30th of October, which basically was an effort by McCabe. And he's allowed, based on his position, to talk to the media. Whether he should have been giving this kind of information is a separate question, and the Inspector General was critical of him for it. But the fact that he's now being indicted on this article. So this article, October 30th, right before the election, was really an effort by McCabe to say, I'm taking the Hillary Clinton investigation seriously. Because there had been some reports about his wife getting a donation from someone who had an association with the Clinton campaign. And he obviously wanted to make it clear that the FBI was taking seriously the Clinton investigation. And here's the relevant passage from the article from the Wall Street Journal. According to a person familiar with the probes, on August 12th, the senior Justice Department official called Mr. McCabe to voice his displeasure at finding that New York FBI agents were still openly pursuing the Clinton investigation probe during the election season. Mr. McCabe said agents still had the authority to pursue the issue as long as they didn't use overt methods requiring Justice Department approvals. The Justice Department official was, quote, very pissed off, according to one person close to McCabe, and pressed him to explain why the FBI was still chasing a matter the department considered dormant. Quote, are you telling me that I need to shut down a validly predicated investigation, Mr. McCabe asked. According to people familiar with the conversation, after a pause, the official replied, of course not, these people said. So this is McCabe, you know, making an effort to show people that he was taking the Hillary Clinton investigation seriously. That's it, okay? The president, I am certain, if he hasn't already, is going to come out and claim this shows you that McCabe was unfair to him. This had nothing to do with any investigation of the president. It had to do with McCabe trying to prove to people that he was taking the Hillary Clinton investigation really seriously. Again, I'm not saying, therefore, what appears to have been his, you know, lack of candor is okay. But prosecutors in their discretion, I think, have to be very careful when prosecuting this kind of case and what feels very politicized, in particular with a president who is so regularly lying to the American public and who refused to testify under oath. Shouldn't that matter in the context of looking at the big picture here? So let's take you through what the Office of Inspector General found. So that was the article, and the Inspector General found that, you know, there were conversations with Comey about whether Comey knew about the leak to the Wall Street Journal, and the Inspector General came to the conclusion they believed Comey and not McCabe. That Comey said he didn't know anything about it. McCabe said that Comey did know about it. But that's not the big issue. The big issue is an interview from May 9th of 2017, where the report concludes that McCabe falsely told agents that he had not authorized the disclosure to the Wall Street Journal and did not know who did. The report stated that McCabe told the agents he recalled the article, yet he claimed he had no idea where the account of the call came from, who the source was, and he said, McCabe said he did not believe he denied authorizing the disclosure of the call during the interview, but could not provide any alternative account about what he said. And here's what happened. So after the initial interview, McCabe's position is he wasn't expecting to be asked about that this was, you know, not the focus. And so he wasn't prepared. And he said that, and we know that after the fact, he did come back and say that, clarified or changed what he said on the 9th of May. And here's what I'm reading through. This literally happened in the last half hour, so I just had to go back and pull the Inspector General report and try and highlight the most significant portions of it. So the Inspector General is taking the position that it was clear that McCabe knew, it's about knowledge, knew he wasn't telling the truth, because he called about a month later to correct his testimony. He didn't sign. They sent him something to sign saying, this is your testimony on this issue. He didn't sign it. He then makes a call. He says, and this is a month later, McCabe states he believed the special counsel may have been authorized by him to work with and speak to the Wall Street Journal for the late October article. He said he had worked with a special counsel in a previous journal article. He believes he may have authorized the special counsel, this is a different special counsel, to work with and speak to the reporter because she had previously worked with McCabe on the issues, etc. The OIG questioned McCabe about his August 1 call during his OIG interview on November 29th. They did a follow-up interview with him. McCabe told the Office of Inspector General that he'd called the Assistant Inspector General on August 1st after spending a lot of time thinking about it over the weekend, and on further reflection, yeah, I remember authorizing them to talk to the Wall Street Journal. He said it was important to me that you did not have a misimpression about the authorization that I had given to interact with Devlin Barrett on the article. And when the Office of Inspector General pointed out that McCabe's statement on July 28th, that he didn't know, and it goes on to talk about other, what they say were misleading comments and statements. So let me be clear. I think that McCabe was rightly fired. I think that in the wake of this Inspector General report, that he had to be fired. I don't think that means he has to be prosecuted. I'm not willing to go to the mat on that, but I am very concerned about what is viewed as, what will be viewed as going after the president's enemies when prosecutors have enormous discretion on something like this. And it's not, I mean, he did call to try to quote unquote clarify. It's not good enough. It's the bigger problem was that when he's under oath on November 29th, this is months later, he's owning it completely. But then, you know, he's not sort of admitting that he lied earlier. And that's what they wanted him to do. They wanted him to admit that he lied, and they say that it's a lie by him saying that he wasn't lying. So McCabe, you know, basically says, I was concerned, as I think I said at the time, uncomfortable about discussing things that I thought were outside of the scope of the Assistant Attorney General had identified for me that day. I felt like that's the direction the questions were coming from. I didn't feel comfortable saying, you know, vouching for that, the text, saying what they meant. I had not thought about the Wall Street Journal article and the conversations we had around it in a long time, and so I misspoke. So that was him coming clean about it. And so the question is, do you prosecute him for the statement that he made previously about this article? And I think it would have been better to say the guy's been fired. The guy didn't get his pension. He should not be prosecuted criminally. That is not the decision that the Department of Justice has made. In this breaking news, Andrew McCabe is now going to be prosecuted. And I wonder what you guys think. Do you think that they ought to be prosecuting? Does it matter that the president is lying on a regular basis, that he refused to testify under oath? Look, the special counsel, Robert Mueller, prosecuted people for lying under oath. It is not, you know, it's not unreasonable to prosecute someone for lying. But considering that McCabe came back, admitted his first statement wasn't entirely accurate, I think that they should have accepted the inspector general, accepted the firing, and said, let's move on. 866-967-6887 is the number. So as we, you know, I want to read one more section, because this is literally, you know, just so you guys know, the reason I may sound a little distracted is because I am rereading the Inspector General report on this issue as I'm on the air with you, because this broke in the last half hour or so. And the Inspector General report, which reviewed all of McCabe's conduct, is something like 40 pages, 35 pages. So I'm sort of trying to focus on the most relevant portions of this. And let me go to page 16. So one of the biggest inaccuracies in McCabe's report was that he claimed he did not know the identity of the source of information contained in the article. And remember, the reason he wanted this article out there was it made it clear that he was taking the Clinton investigation seriously. I gave no one authority to share any information relative to any interaction. So here's a statement that they sent to him. They said, hey, would you be willing to sign this? And it comes 3 days after he talks to them. All right? And here's what the paragraph says. He never agreed to sign it. He never agreed to sign it. But this is what they wanted him to sign. It says that they provided him with a photocopy of a Wall Street Journal article, requested I evaluate and assess the content of the first three paragraphs. My assessment of the reference portion of the article is that it's basically an accurate depiction of an actual telephonic interaction I had with the Department of Justice executive. I do not know the identity of the source of the information contained in the article. Since this event, I have shared the circumstances of this interaction with numerous FBI executives and other FBI personnel. I gave no one authority to share any information relative to any interaction with the DOJ executive, with any member of the media. He didn't sign that. He didn't sign that. I just think it's dangerous business when the Department of Justice starts prosecuting over, you know, something where the person called back and said, I want to clarify it, et cetera. And, you know, it's not like, I don't know. Again, I'm not excusing it. I mean, it sounds like I'm excusing it, but I think he got fired for the right reasons. And I believe Comey on this and not McCabe. But, you know, the idea that this is going to lead to a prosecution over, you know, an issue over who, you know, who gave authorization to say something to the Wall Street Journal, that wasn't, you know, there was nothing super classified about this, was just basically saying that they're taking the Hillary Clinton investigation seriously. Mary from Texas joins us. Mary, how you doing? What do you got?
Hello there. I just wanted to say that, number one, I enjoy your program. I believe it's very objective.
Thank you.
Number two, my subjective opinion is that this is revenge by Trump. He's going to bankrupt this man, and that's his goal. He's already been punished. I wish I could contribute to his defense fund, but you know, that hasn't been put out there. But this is what I truly believe. He wants to bankrupt and make this man suffer because he's a Democrat.
Yep. Look, I think it's not because he's a Democrat. It's because he was part of the team that was investigating the president. And I think that's what makes him so angry. And he's going to, I think the president's going to pretend like somehow this has anything to do with the investigation of him, which of course it doesn't. Mary, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. David from North Carolina joins us. David, how you doing? What do you got?
Hey, Dan. You know, I think it's really rich that the Department of Justice is prosecuting someone for lying when the Department of Justice consistently lies for the president. It just smacks of our Department of Justice that continues to lose credibility in the eyes of the American public.
You know, I'm concerned about that, too. As I've said many times on the show, I supported the selection of William Barr as the Attorney General, and I have become increasingly concerned about his conduct, primarily as it relates to simply trying to defend the president at all costs. And I think that as a result, I am concerned about whether this is a politicized prosecution. And
Dan, can the judiciary look at these federal prosecutors and say, get out of my courtroom, this is ridiculous?
No, because it's not ridiculous. I mean, that's the problem. This is not ridiculous. It's, you know, look, as I said before, you know, you read the Inspector General report, and it seems pretty clear that he wasn't being forthcoming with them at the very least, and at worst, he was lying. And, you know, I think that they did the right thing by firing him. So it's not a case of, oh, my goodness, they're making stuff up. They're just interpreting things in a way which is as incriminating as is possible. And just so you know, his defense on this, and we already have this because this is the, you know, we have their statement in response to the Inspector General report. The a statement by his attorney, Michael Bromwich, stated regarding the lack of candor in the May 9, 2017 interview. By the way, we're talking about Andrew McCabe, the number two at the FBI, who is now, it seems, going to be indicted for lying. This is the response from his lawyer. Bromwich describes the OIG's report as incomplete and misleading. He points out that the interview occurred shortly before McCabe learned of Comey's firing and that it's therefore completely understandable that McCabe does not have a clear recollection of what was asked of him in the moments before this chaos. He notes that McCabe received a draft statement based on the interview. He contacted the Inspector General to correct the inaccurate facts. He states that...
It feels like he acted with good faith. I don't understand.
Well, look, I don't know. I think that what my guess is to what actually happened here is they surprised him with these questions about the Wall Street Journal article. He wasn't ready for questions about the Wall Street Journal article. He hadn't prepared in his head to think about, am I going to own the fact that I had leaked? And, you know, once he realizes what he's done, he then later on gets back in touch and says, yeah. So it's, you know, it's concerning. Anyway, David, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ed from Maryland. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? We love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a former senior assistant United States attorney, and I've prosecuted a number of cases where people have made false statements to federal FBI agents and other federal authorities. And Congress passed and the president signed Title 18, Section 1001, if my memory's correct. I'm retired now. But it says if you make a false statement in any matter under investigation, it's no different than if you make a false statement under oath in a trial or to the grand jury, and it's a matter for the trial. And that's something that even if the person comes back later and tries to do something to lessen the impact of what they've done, realizes they've been caught and has a change of heart, that's something that maybe is for the judge to determine if the jury finds him guilty. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. As a former federal prosecutor, would you not agree that there were people who occasionally lied or gave inaccurate information in the context of an investigation who you did not prosecute?
But it happens very often, not just in big cases, but in small cases as well.
Agreed. But I'm asking you, I guess my point is that there is discretion in a case like this as to whether to prosecute.
There's discretion all along the line. And there's discretion in the agency in reporting it to the United States attorney or the prosecutor in the Department of Justice if they've got a special prosecutor that's considering it. And there's discretion, as I say, all across the line. That's why we have grand juries. This matter was presented to a grand jury. And even though that's a low standard for a grand jury, just that it's more likely that the crime occurred than it did not occur.
Yeah,
it's a thing to be resolved by the court, and then the judge should be the one that uses the discretion to give the person an extremely light sentence.
Well, but the problem is, here's the problem, and I've said this publicly before, and let me take this out of the realm of politics. On the Martha Stewart case, right? I covered the case at length. She definitely lied in the context of the investigation. But I'm not sure she would have been prosecuted if she hadn't been Martha Stewart. She wasn't the subject of the investigation. She wasn't the focus. It wasn't the point of the investigation. She was like a witness. And I think if she hadn't been Martha Stewart, that she wouldn't have gotten prosecuted. Now, once she was prosecuted, she was guilty. So I think the judge doesn't have the discretion at that point to say, I'm not going to sentence you to anything because in another case, someone else might not have been prosecuted because she was guilty. And I guess that's my point. My point is that there should be some level of, again, the guy's been fired. The guy didn't get his pension. There has been a price that has been paid. And it doesn't always have to be the criminal law. In particular because this was not the focus and it was not the main reason. It was a side point, and it was not about classified information, etc.
This has been the Dan Abrams Law and Crime Podcast with SiriusXM Radio.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPersonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.